The Trail Blazers, losers of 9 of their last 12, haven't given up on the season, but I, Aaron Fincher, certainly have. I've seen enough. Stick a fork in them. It's beyond repair. Hello, I'm Aaron Fincher, as I just said. Welcome to the Blazer Focus Podcast. I'm joined by Craig Burnback, as usual, who is already irritating me in the pre-show, pre-fight. He's going to really get me pumped tonight. I can already tell. Anyway, Craig. Yes. I just went on the second half of the Blazers road trip. Watched them lose 4 consecutive games, counting the loss to your Knicks Tuesday night. And I experienced a range of emotions as I listened to them still talk about the postseason. And there was for one fleeting moment when I bought in again, which we'll talk about soon. But then I sat there at the Smoothie King Arena in New Orleans, drinking a smoothie, strawberry kiwi, by the way, and it was delicious, and watched this team walk out there and lay the biggest egg I think I've ever seen a so-called desperate team lay in a definite must-win situation, and I was done. I pretty much wrote their eulogy that night. I was disgusted by it, shaking my head. Then I come back, and of course, there's no way they were going to beat the Knicks. But anyway, you ended up being right.
Yeah.
Back in January, you stuck a fork in them. I kept giving them outs. Oh, they need this guy back. They need that guy back. They need this guy and that guy. And I still believe injuries hurt this team. But regardless, the idea that Chauncey Billups sat there and said, we didn't have the urgency, we didn't have the intensity. I'm like, you just barely lost to Philly. You're playing a Pelicans team that doesn't have Ingram or Zion, just played the night before and lost, and you were down 39 at one point. Well, just disgusted. So you were right, and I was not quite correct. Anyway, I will let you speak now before we get to our rundown.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by any of this. You know, I told you I didn't see any real victories, and I'm a little shocked. I was a little shocked at how they showed up in New Orleans. Absolutely not ready to play. Not looking like they, I mean, there was no effort there. That's the worst thing. And Billups said it. And it's never good when your head coach, you know, ends a game and says, yeah, I don't know why we got outplayed like that. I don't know why the team that is completely banged up, played the night before, came out and smoked us. And that was they lost by like 17 was the final. Like, that wasn't even close.
The bench dominated the fourth quarter. Oh, dominated to make it look a lot better. They were down 39 at one point, dude. 39.
And again,
Trey Murphy, like, it didn't matter that Brandon Ingram was there. Trey Murphy was there dressed. Well, no, Brandon Ingram was there dressed as Trey Murphy. Continue, sorry.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. And the defense, like, what? At this point in time, the worst. You said in the beginning of the year that this team had to be mediocre on defense, and you thought they could be with Chauncey
Billups. They were for like a couple months.
They were 10-4, dude. Take it away. Take away those 14 games.
When they were 17-13, they were still decent on defense.
But this team is so bad at defense. Everything they do on defense when it matters is just mind-boggling sometimes. Like, I don't understand how you can let Trey Murphy, like, how do you let him do that over and over and over again? You know who's let Murphy do that over and over again in the NBA? Nobody. It's never happened before. It never happened before. I mean, it was like his own team was like, hey, you guys, you should cover him. He's really good at threes. Like, look at the stats. Like, did they not look at the scouting report? Like, Murphy, one of the top, you know, 10 three-point shooters in the league. Don't let him do it. Over and over again. And the Knicks play without their second-best player, 16-point lead. 16-point lead. Like, if you blow a 16-point lead and lose by 2, it's really bad. But if you blow a 16-point lead and get blown out.
But that 16-point lead was early. In the NBA, 16 points in the first half means nothing. We all know
you still got to give it up. You still got to give it up.
But that's shooting percentages flip flop. We all know that. That thing is overrated. And the first half leads don't mean jack to me. Seriously, it's overrated.
Well,
it's like being up 7-0 in the first quarter of an NFL football game. Wow. It doesn't matter.
It's not. It's like it's being exactly up like that. 14-0, maybe.
No.
It does look, you just keep it their defense over and over again. Even against Philly, where they played really well for 3.5 quarters, then it's like they couldn't get a stop. They could not get a stop. And yes, Embiid's final shot was fantastic. And I love how everyone said, played the perfect defense. No, you know what the perfect defense is? Him not scoring. That's the perfect defense. Him not getting to his spot. I mean, after the game, Embiid's like, you know, that's my spot. So don't let him get this. You know what I mean? Like, that's not perfect defense.
He was like Little Penny. I know my spot, fool.
Right. Like, he was like, you know, that if I get to that spot, I'm good. And they let him get to the spot. You know who didn't let Damian Lillard get to the spot? The Sixers. Like, that last second shot was garbage. Like, that's a perfect defense. That's perfect defense when you don't let the guy who you, everyone in their world, I mean, they let it get him, get into the post in 1 second. He got the ball right where he wanted. And yes, did Nurkic play as good of one-on-one defense as you can? Yes, but that's not how you win in the NBA, because the best players in the world are unguardable one-on-one and sometimes unguardable, period. So the best defense is to not let them get the ball. So again, defense is just not good. Damian Lillard plays 38 minutes in a game. They get blown out at home by a Knicks team without their second-best player. They made a guy who played in the G League earlier this year look like an all-star playing point guard. Josh Hart comes back and just goes, did you miss me? I'm trying to throw a triple-double on you.
Did you see when Josh Hart went over Watford, snatched the offensive rebound and put it right back in? It was like, that was the difference between a grown man who knows how to play this game and a kid who's bigger, stronger, taller, but it's just a kid. He didn't box him out. He was too far under the basket, and Josh just jumped up, snatched it, put it right back in. All right, real quick. I wouldn't say I was forced to go on the second half of this trip, but I was encouraged to. Like, we didn't want to be away from them for 6 weeks. Nurk's going to come back. You know, and it was legit. It was legit. I'm not – because the loss of CJ and the Pelicans at home, I was pretty much like, because they went to 4-under. Remember I said 4-under for me was like, right? And so I'm like, they're done. So I wasn't going to go. So Joel Owens like, yeah, I think we should just go to the second half. I'm like, all right, I'll go to Boston. I've never been to TD Garden. Cool. I've never been to Wells Fargo. Cool. I'll go. They had me fooled at Philadelphia. I watched man, that was some of the best basketball they played all season. They looked amazing.
For 3.5 quarters.
They were amazing. The way they were moving the ball, getting shots. Even, you know, Reddish had some turnovers. But when the big three were, you know, unable to score on a possession, he made plays. And they just looked really, really good. And Philly would come back, and they would just push him back. It was like three times. Philly came back, and they pushed him back. And then Philly came back in the fourth, and Portland couldn't push him back. But I still left there thinking, hey, Nurk was off minutes restriction. Ant came back and looked amazing in his first game back in a long time.
He did.
They had Grant. I'm like, man, they're going to crush the Pelicans. And they're going to come home. It's still going to be tough. But if they play like this, they might be able to, you know. And then that they lost Dame, but that didn't matter. And Billups said himself, he's like, even without Dame, we should lose a close game, maybe, if we lose. But they still shouldn't lose that game. And so I was done. And even the Knicks game yesterday, I was like, okay, I kept waiting for it to fall apart. Like, I figured it would at some point. And then all of a sudden, your Knicks shoot 71% in the third quarter, and they crank up the defense. And the Blazers,
by the way,
without Jeremy Grant, just had no – go ahead.
The Knicks are a terrible shooting team.
God, I know. They just caught fire. But without Jeremy Grant, you needed someone with length and athleticism who could create a shot against that defense, because they were just taking Dame away. And then Ant was trying to do things, and they got bigger guys on Ant, and they had no one else to go to. And Cam Reddish, you know, he's been playing pretty well, but he was popping off about Thibodeau to the Daily News or someone. And then he went out there and looked totally stressed out, totally discombobulated, totally like just making silly passes and bad shots. And meanwhile, Josh Hart, the guy they traded for him in the pick, just looked like the winning player Lillard said he was. And to me, like, if you just watch those two players, you saw the difference between both franchises and what happened to this team when they got rid of Hart, because they just don't have anyone off the bench who's reliable to give you any Nasir can have moments, but after that, you got a bunch of kids and inexperience. And even Thibodeau and Reddish, they were benched on their previous teams, and they're starting for you or first man off the bench. So it's just a mess. And so now you're three games behind three teams tied for eighth, Dallas, Thunder, Lakers. You have to catch one of them, and you have to do it in 13 games. I believe they'd have to go 10-3 and then hope one of those teams falls apart and goes 6-7. And then that gives you a chance, but then you still
Wait, listen. You're wasting your brain cells.
I'm saying why it's over. I'm not saying this is what they could do. I'm saying this is why it's impossible. Then you got the Pelicans and Utah still in front of them. They got to play the Pelicans again. They're 2-1 against them. They got to play Utah at Utah. So the only teams with losing records they play other than the Spurs are 6-1 combined against the Blazers this season. So it is literally an impossibility. Boston this weekend with the Clippers. You got back to back with the Kings coming up. Damian said, "We'll know where we are in 4 or 5 games." I'm like, "Yep, you'll know where you are because you're going to go 1-4 at best in these next 5 games." It's done. It's done. And so, I'm not going to knock them for still believing. I asked Chauncey. I'm like, "Look, all the things you listed that are wrong with this team that hurt you guys. How are you going to fix it?" 13 games left, man. It's not going to get fixed. They've been trying to fix that stuff for 2 months, 3 months, love Dame, God bless him. He's not giving up. He's not a quitter. He's going to try and go and try and put 45 on the Celtics on Friday. And who knows? Maybe they pull off an upset. It happens all the time, but they're not going to beat them and the Clippers and go to Utah. And so it's done. It's over. I literally last night actually called up a mock draft. I started looking at the top 10 because I'm checking the Cubs schedule and trying to match it up with the combine and the lottery because I'm gonna try and see me a Cubs game, see me some Dansby Swanson that week. But it's over.
Yeah, I love that. I loved hearing you come to grips with it. Like I've been there for so long.
I tried so hard.
I know.
You were trying to drag me along. I'm just like, I'm probably like your little kid. No.
They're still good.
It can happen.
But you just said it happens all the time. Like them beating Boston. It happens all the time. No, it doesn't for the Blazers.
No, upsets in the NBA.
But it does. That's what I'm trying to say. The Blazers have shown you no reason to believe they'll do that.
They haven't beaten the winning team since the Warriors before Valentine's
Day. February 8th. Yes. Yep. It's not they're not good. They're not good at basketball. I mean, that's it. And they the worst thing that can happen to them is making the playoffs. It's the worst thing that could happen to them right now. This team, what Joe Cronin did was not about this year. I remember I said they were worse after the trade deadline. You said you thought they might be better. And I'm like, they're not better, they're worse. And
if they had been healthy, they'd be fine right now.
No, I don't think they would.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's like saying, yeah. Well,
dude,
I
come on, dude. Come on. No. Nurk missed. Okay. Let's not get this twisted. Nurk missed a month. Ant missed a bunch of games. Okay, so that's two of your four best players. They're not built to withstand that. Had those guys been healthy this entire time, they wouldn't be 6 or 7 under. They'd be closer to 500. Therefore, they'd only be one game out of 10th. Or tied right now.
I can't argue on what ifs.
I'm just saying there's a difference between them being bad and them being bad because of
thinking that Nurkic was going to play 70 games in a season was ridiculous because he doesn't. So you have to count that in.
But that's fine. All I'm saying is that had they been healthy, they would be better than
in a perfect
right.
Right. In a perfect world, they would have.
That's all I'm saying.
Then they went to trade Josh Hart. They would have still had Hart. Because if they had in your world, they stayed healthy, and you think they'd be decent, they would have gone for it. Because that's why they got Hart. They didn't get Hart to trade him.
They would have traded Hart. I'm talking playing only. They would have traded Hart. They weren't
playing over. That's fine. What I'm saying is, if in your perfect world, they would have been a better team. I don't think they're very. I don't think they were very. You know what I said? I thought they were a possible play-in bottom end. But now I don't know. Now I just there's no reason to root for them to win games if you want this Trailblazers team to eventually go for a championship with Damian Lillard. And I'm not sure what you get that close to 10% chance of getting a franchise-changing player, that's what you got to hope for. You got to hope you get it right this time, right? Because you got it twice. Last time you got the number one overall pick, you made a horrendous decision. I'm not saying that others wouldn't have made it, but you choose Kevin Durant over Greg Oden, your whole life is different. So your whole franchise is different. So now you just hope they get it right. I don't know what to look forward to. That's the part of it. Last year, you kind of knew what they were doing. This year, they're still trying. They could try because it doesn't matter. Try and tank. You don't have to try to tank when you're not good. It's not a tank when you're bad. I'm just saying they're going to lose, right?
No, I'm not reacting to you, dude. I just
just
checked the NBA combine with the Cubs schedule, and the Cubs are on the road that week.
Hey, you go see a White Sox game. It's all right. You can read. It's all right.
I need to call a commissioner and get that fixed.
But like, I don't even know. Like on this team, I guess you try and. I don't know why you continue to play. I mean, Lillard played 38 minutes last night in a blowout loss. Like, I don't know why you do that anymore. And there's nobody, right?
Scoring title? Should he go for the scoring title? He needs to average 38. I calculated it today, 38.8 per game the rest of the year to get the scoring title. Or to pass where Embiid is right now.
Well, No, I wouldn't do that.
No.
Exactly. I'd sit him and hope. I don't want him to get hurt, and I want him to finish out. I mean, I'd play him, if he wants to play him, but don't play him 38 minutes in a blowout loss. Like, what's he doing in the fourth quarter? I get you have to. If you're the coach, you got to try to win, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, Dame's the kind of guy who's not going to quit until they're mathematically out, right? Their magic number to be eliminated could be one with 8 games to go, and he's going to play.
Unless they tell him.
To win all 8. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, tell is different than ask or, leave it up to him. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. So, for me, if they lose both games this weekend, I think you seriously say, look, dude, there's 2 weeks left in the season. You know what I mean? Let's just shut you down. You have your calf. There you go. Calf's been bothering you off and on. It's your calf.
Yes.
We'll say calf. Yeah. We'll say you're out for Utah. We'll say you're questionable, you miss, and then it's a week left, and then we'll just shut you down because we don't want something crazy to happen. Like you're healthy.
Yes.
We don't want you to tear something that requires off-season surgery, right?
And yes.
You come back in October, but you got to ramp up, what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, yes, I'm with you 100%. And then you assure yourself of going into this whole thing with the 6th worst record. And now you have, which is where they were last year, and they fell back to 7th, but... But now you have a chance to get yourself a high pick that you can trade. And if they want to have all their chips and make some crazy move this summer for whomever, a lottery pick would help you in that endeavor, in that quest. So, I'd give Dame two more games, and then they lose them both, they're out.
My question is, you'd want to sit Nurk. But because you got nobody over 6'7".
Eubanks and Watford. You just played a month and a half without Nurk. You can play the 2 weeks without Nurk.
It's true. It's gonna be like last year, dude.
People are just gonna start having stuff.
Two-way players. I don't know who they are, but they're about to get some minutes. They got that one big guy. I keep reading the little blurbs about what he's doing on his two-way contract. They'll be playing.
Oh, John Butler.
Yeah,
he'll be starting at the 4. No. Here we go. You got who would be your point guy? Be Keon? No, the Ryan Avanasa. What is it?
Yep.
Ryan Avanasa?
Archibald Villanova.
Yeah, my bad, dude. I should know your last name, but I refuse to. Anyway, him, the point. You got Shaden at the 2.
And he's good.
You got Matisse at the Cam rotating at the 3, and Little and Watford at the 4, Butler backing them up. You start Eubanks. Yeah, you're not going to win a game the rest of the year, bro.
I don't know why it matters. I mean, you want to get in the – you want to roll the dice and hope for a change in – I think – I don't know what's available, but I think if you get – they're talking about two top – Wemby and Scoot Henderson as being possible – franchise altering players. So you hope to get there and or you try to figure out how to turn around into another all-star and hope that's enough. But there's no reason to risk Damian Lillard hurt pulling it, Achilles going or knee or whatever in the last few games. None.
I agree. So where are you at on Chauncey? Let's just talk about this just because Some people are writing in about it. Some people are, you know, well, people on Twitter are always freaking out about silly things. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that I'm watching games and going, Chauncey should have done this. Had they done that, they would have point differential with chains, blah, blah. You know, people crapped all over Stotts for all these years and they were winning, going to the playoffs. And so now they're not going to the playoffs. So, of course, Chauncey's going to get some of the blame for that. But I just, you know, this team was not built to be good without being healthy. And they haven't been healthy enough. And they're playing a bunch of young. And I broke this down in a story today. So if you look at who they're playing, other than Dame, Grant, and Nurkic, you really don't have anyone with any real valuable experience in winning situations. Ant's first year starting. You got Nasir, who's never contributed to a strong Blazers team, really. Thibault and Reddish have some experience in that background, but they were benched, as we talked about. Watford's a young end. Sharp's a kid. Eubanks never contributed to a winning season in San Antonio. So, Chauncey has made this – I'm not trying to say their excuses necessarily, but he's pointed this out numerous times, and it's just – I mean, it's not true. So it's hard for me to say some other coach would have made a better use out of what they've had to work with this season. And if there is such a coach, great. Fire Chauncey, go get him. But I just don't believe there is that type of coach.
Well, a lot of them are taken, but Terry Stotts is out there.
I don't think Stotts. I mean, come on.
I'm just kidding. I think this team, I don't think it matters right now to evaluate him. He's not been, there's no way you could say he's been good. You can't. I mean,
because they haven't been good.
Part is a problem. And he said it, like, when you come out and you play like you did against New Orleans, coach gets blamed for that. It's his job to get them ready to try. They're not ready to try. That's on the coaching staff. He's not the only one. Scott Brooks is a really good coach, you know, in the NBA at times. And he's supposed to be a defensive coach. He's there. They're not reacting to him either. The whole coaching staff, you can't give him a passing grade because the team hasn't competed at times. But that doesn't mean I think it's time to give up on him. You hired a guy who never coached in the NBA before. You hired a guy who had 1 year of assistant coaching experience. Yeah. You throw it out the window last year, doesn't matter. And this year you say, okay, I hope you learned something here, Chauncey. And unless a team gets sold, and that's probably not going to happen before next year. But if that were to happen, sure, new ownership wants to go in a new direction, new money. But I don't see, if you believed in Chauncey, and I know it wasn't Joe Cronin technically didn't hire him. He's not his guy, but he's the owner. I don't know how you even what Jody Allen is, but the people making the decisions hired Chauncey Billups. So you go again next year and you give it a try, and see if he learns with a team that you hope is better. And if he continues to not get effort, then, you know, in the NBA, you as a coach, your team has to have effort. The best coach, Spoelstra,
they've had more effort than not. I don't think that's...
I don't know. You blow a lot of double... I get it, but they lead the league in blowing double-figure leads. That, to me, is a problem.
We asked... So Damian's take on that... And actually, Chauncey said similar things, but Damian's take on that was that... like I said, the first half leads to me, I just don't care about those, really. The 25-point halftime lead to the Lakers, yeah, that's bad. Being up, you know... If you're up in the teens in the third quarter, yeah, that's bad. Being up in the first quarter or even the second quarter, that's just worthless to me, especially in today's NBA. But, you know, what Dame talked about was, you know, in the early parts of the game is different. There's less pressure. It's fresher. You're just coming out there. Maybe you play looser. You get hot. You build the lead. Second half, other teams are adjusting to you. Now you got to adjust back. And if you don't have the maturity level or the basketball IQ to make the counter move to the counter move, you're going to struggle. The intensity ramps up. So a team with more veterans, more experience, and big and high leverage in situations is just going to be better than what you are. And so if the Knicks started trying to take Dame away, make life difficult for Dame, and a team of Ant, Nasir, Thibault, Reddish are not going to scare anybody. Like it's just not enough firepower to generate offense that way. That's where you need Grant and another dude. then it's a different story. So that's why I just don't feel like Billups was supposed to make some kind of magical adjustment and all of a sudden all these pieces are just going to fit and stop the comeback against a better team. The Knicks are flat out better. So blowing a lead against an inferior team is one thing. Blowing a lead against a team that's flat out better than you in the NBA, when they have more experience, more talent, more stars, doesn't, I'm not going to blame the coach for that. And that's especially fine. especially with the shooting percentage thing. Because a lot of times there's a difference between I'm kicking your ass and I shot 68%, you shot 32%. Was your 32% because I locked you down? Was my 68% because you can't stop me? Or was it just that I began hot and you began not? And then so many times I look at the quarter by quarters, and so many times you look at this team shot 68% in the first quarter, that team shot 32%. And then the second quarter, it flips to 54-39, and boom, we're tied. And everyone's like, we're really late. No, the shooting balanced out. You don't shoot and go make, miss, make, miss, make, miss, make, miss. Sometimes you go make. The other team goes miss, and you're up 15. Is that going to stay the entire game? No, it's probably going to balance out, especially when the other team's better than you. So that's why I don't freak out about that or blame the coaching necessarily.
We can go through all the things and why they're this or why they're not. They're not. I'll admit, I don't think they have the talent to be a very good team. So I'm the one that said the whole time that I thought the play-in or maybe an 8 seed was their hot, was their ceiling. Right. But when I look at it, I'm not sure what he's doing well yet. I'm not saying he can't.
And that's fair. But and that's I don't fair. Know what, you, right. He hasn't elevated the team, right?
Their defense is worse. Their defense isn't better.
Right. So they're not elevated. Whether it's not having the horses or not, he's not elevating them. Therefore, if you're not elevating beyond what your capabilities are, then we can't say you're doing a great job. But we can't necessarily say you're doing a bad job.
That's Drew Eubanks. So Damian Lillard's played his best season maybe ever. So I'm going to cut Chauncey. But I'm not going to give Chauncey credit for Damian Lillard. I'm just not going to do that. Yeah. And to me, when I look at – I know you think little – I think that maybe not – maybe the expectations for Little were too high. But – and I just don't see other – Drew Eubanks to me as – played great, and that's the one guy I would say he's outplayed what anyone expected. But I know you like how Simons has developed under Chauncey, and I guess that's the best. I don't see it that much. I think Simons was going to be this good no matter what, but no one else is elevated.
I mean, and gives Chauncey credit, so
that's fine. And maybe that's true, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they're having Nurkic has not gotten better for sure. Grant had started off red hot, but he is leveled off to not being better than he was. You look at, Watford, he's gotten minutes and sometimes he looks really good. And other times you're like, well, you probably should have covered the guy who dunked there, and Little's had his ups and downs, which you expect. I'm just saying, like, right now, if you said, so what is Chauncey Billups good at? I don't know yet.
Right. Incomplete.
Incomplete.
100%. But I'm not, but we're on the same page there. We're not going to be like, throw him out.
Nah.
But here's the thing. Like, part of what they do this, okay, let's say, and this is, so, okay, here's something funny. So, Gina Mizell covers the 76ers for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And she used to work here in Portland. You've probably been around her a lot when she covered Oregon State, right? Yep. So, I was sitting right next, we were sitting next to each other at Doc Rivers and Billups' pregame press conference before the game. And I go, hey, have you heard this one? Have you heard this one? I was doing the SNL skit. Have you heard about this one? Have you heard about this one, Seth? Remember that? And it tells some fantastical story. Anyway, and I go, have you heard about this Embiid to Portland thing? And she kind of looked at me like, awesome. What you talking about, Willis? And I go, well, I'm Portland. The theory is that James Harden's going to leave for Houston. And then the Blazers are going to make a trade for Embiid. And she just looked at me like, shook her head like, I go, I know. It's more than likely that, the 76ers would wait out Portland and Dame. I'm not going to give you Embiid to make Dame happy. I'm going to let you sweat what Dame's going to do when you can't get someone like Embiid. And then when Dame says it's time to trade me, then I'm going to come to you and say, trade me Dame. And she was like, well, I could definitely see maybe Harden leaving for Houston for personal reasons, but I don't buy that yet. And I definitely would not see that they would be out there trying to trade Embiid. They're going to try and go out and build around Embiid, right? You're not going to give him up unless he demands out. Yeah. So So to me, that's just a pipe dream fantasy. And I'll say, I would love to be wrong. So, you know, I don't like to be wrong ever. Oh. There's certain situations where I would love to be wrong. Like when the Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky, and I'm like, I would have loved to have been wrong. I was not. I don't think there's any way in hell Portland's going to get Joel Embiid. I will come on this podcast and say, I was wrong if it happens.
And I'll be
if Siakam doesn't happen, if that doesn't happen, what you have to go get some adults.
Yes.
If your biggest play was OG, right, and it cost you Ant, and you start Dame, Thibault, OG, Grant, Nurkic, that could be a really good defensive team, and you got plenty of offense. And then your bench needs to be some grown-ups. And one of the things Chauncey talked about before the game was how back in his day, when he played, they had these OG veteran guys who were basically there to raise the youngins. And he said those types of guys helped him. He goes, I don't have that here. Dame is the OG who's got to be the superstar, carry the team, and help try and raise the youngins. And I made a quip. I was like, did you guys call them like bench nannies? That's amazing. The way you said it, raising the youngins. But they need to get some veteran guys who their names are not going to blow your socks off, but just 31-year-old veteran grown men who know how to play some defense and know how to set a screen and aren't going to get lost on defense, that you can bring them off the bench and play them like Aminu, who everyone cried about because he couldn't shoot three, or Harkless and all his imperfections. But those guys brought you length and defense, and they were adults. And that's what this team has to have, because everyone loves Shaedon Sharpe. He's a 19-year-old. 19-year-old, and for every fantastic dunk he has, he makes like 10 mistakes. I guarantee his one-on-one film sessions are just, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you did this wrong. You need some grown-ups on this team regardless. But if you can't get a superstar, you better plug in some vet dudes on that bench, so you're not bringing in Jabari Walker, Watford, and Sharp for big important minutes, because they're just not ready now and they're not going to be ready next year.
And the other thing about those guys is, for the coach, he knows what he's going to get. You don't have to, you know, that's what this guy does this. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
I mean, Al Horford was once a star, but Al Horford comes in, he know what he's going to do. He's going to play defense,
that kind of dude.
Threes.
100%.
That's it.
Yep.
And they don't have that. And
nope.
And that's a, you know, that's a problem for a coach, because you talk about Cam Reddish, you don't know. That's why he doesn't play for two franchises. Not because he doesn't have talent, not because he can't do amazing things, but because you don't know, and he's going to blow it. And that's why I'm quote unquote down on Reddish, because two coaches have decided they couldn't count on him. And eventually he's not a star. And to be a role player and to last in the league, you know, you need to have the coach not just believe in you, know what you're going to do, so he can design an offense and a defense around you. And that right now they can't do. So I 100% agree with that, and that he hasn't had that. And as a young coach, it's hard. But, you know, at some point in time, you can't stink as a coach in the NBA for 3 years, no matter what happens.
Right.
You don't last 3 years. Like, you can, it's not, Mike Brown has been fired before because it wasn't his fault.
Right,
because he got put in situations where they were just wrong thing. Like, oh, LeBron's not here anymore. We stink. Not your fault.
Fired.
He's a really good coach, and he's showing it right now on Sacramento because he's got some talent. But there's no way you can't last. Sometimes you can't last 2 years. I mean, heck, if you're coaching the Nets, you can't make it 8 games. You know, like, until they give up on you. But it's just the nature of he has to next year. He will have the first, in my opinion, depending on you get the first half of your third year. And if your team is still really, really bad, even if it's not your fault, you're gone.
So, okay, we've bashed these guys enough, and you made me feel bad about myself, Craig. Thanks very much. So let's move on to a no-look pass from Mr. Thien.
True or false, the Blazers' ills can be cured if the ping pong balls fall the right way.
I don't think of course they get the if they get the first pick in the draft,
they're not, that's not going to make them a contenders. That kid's going to be 19.
Franchise changes, Right, fine, fine, whatever. It changes everything, though. You have a guy that people are saying is a unicorn amongst unicorns. He's a 7-foot, 10-inch point guard who hits fadeaway threes like we've never seen it. Of course. I mean, it's the whole world changes when you get a guy like that. So 100% the world changes. When they drafted Greg Oden, everything changed. It didn't change for the better, but the feeling of your team, if you have that guy,
we're talking on the court in production,
fine. I'm
talking
know
about fantasy
be. 2 years okay. 2 years okay. Luka Doncic is fantastic
potentially,
and he was
it potentially could change. Well, it's definitely going to change things for the future. I don't think it changes things for next year. They still have to get some veteran guys in here.
He didn't say next year. Saying. Did you say
what he said?
What did you what say?
I don't remember.
Their
exactly
ills could they their ills could be cured. Their yeah. ills could be cured if the ping pong balls go the right way.
All the deficiencies, everything will be forgotten.
Not all of them, because they still got ownership things and they got other stuff. But no, your whole world changes if you get that. LeBron James changed the Cavs. They were instant contenders. Now is Wemby is he that? Everyone seems to think so.
They were not so instant contenders. They barely made the playoffs as a rookie. I don't even think they made the playoffs as a rookie,
did
they?
No, okay. I'm just, you're right. I mean, I'm not talking
they're
about
instantly relevant. They're instantly relevant.
They were instantly relevant, and then they were continuous contenders every year because of one player. I mean, obviously, they had Kyrie Irving when they won a title. They had Love, whatever. I'm just saying, yes, if this guy is what everyone says he is and you get him, he will change any franchise that gets him. That would change. You wouldn't be trading that pick. You know, I mean, you would be just saying, okay, and you'd have
wait, okay, let's talk about that, though.
Oh, hell
if
no.
You have the number.
Hell no.
Hold on. You're telling me you wouldn't trade the number one overall pick for Embiid?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I'd have to. You know, but I have
trade
to think
for
about
Tyler
it.
Hero and, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen.
Duncan
right?
Robinson.
But the Sixers aren't going to make that trade.
Well, hold on a second. If Harden left, the one thing I think that would make the 76ers go, would be this kid. Absolutely, 100%. Everyone in the league, in the league would go,
I wouldn't, you know what? I don't think I'd do it.
For Embiid?
Yeah, I don't think I'd do it.
Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy.
Yeah, I might be, but I don't think
you're
doing
it's the number one overall pick and some salary match. You're starting Dame, Ant, Grant, Thibel, and Joel Embiid. You're contenders. And if you want, because if you want, you take Ant. If you can take Ant and a couple picks and go get OG.
Joel Embiid's really good.
Now you're Dame, Thibel, OG, Grant, and Embiid. You're winning the West.
I can't answer this question.
In three or four years, it may suck watching this kid be amazing, but you got a title. There's no way that group stays healthy. They don't win the title. That's a lock.
Well, that's nothing's a lock, but yes.
No. Okay, factor of interest. Dame, OG, Grant, Embiid is a lock championship. If they don't have injuries, that's a lock championship.
That's what I meant. Yeah, sure. I mean, I love this. You just gave me a trade that will never happen. And
I know.
I can't come up with a good, and I can't come up with an answer.
But what if it was a three-way deal and you got LeBron and Jason Tatum? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, this is a ridiculous, fantasy. I'm just saying, I would love to see the ping pong balls go the Blazers' way and get it right once. You know, it's really just, you just keep twice in your life. Twice. People make fun of, people are on Twitter, Blazer fans, they love to make fun of the Knicks on Twitter, less this week than, right. This year than ever. But they love to do that. And I don't ever go back at them because I don't root against the Blazers. I root for the Blazers. My son's 5. He's a Blazer fan now. He told me. He's like, I like the Knicks, but I'm from Portland. So I'm a Blazer fan.
Take some, Dad. I'm representing P-Town. He said, I'm representing P-Town.
Hey, I'm happy for him, I'm good. He just has to root for the Yankees. That's all he can root for.
Oh, okay. But that's a deal breaker right there, right? Okay.
The Yankees have brought me joy. The Knicks relationship has been the most abusive relationship I've ever been in my life. I've never won a title. It's awful. So I don't wish that upon my son. But okay. But like, I want to be like, hey, yeah, the Knicks struggled. But they made the playoffs. They, like you, they went to the championship in my lifetime and they lost. But they were really good for a while and they picked Patrick Ewing when they had the number one pick. So not so bad. You know, yeah, you had the number, like, you didn't pick Michael Jordan, and then you didn't pick Kevin Durant. Like, somebody's franchise made some really bad mistakes. You know, like, we have terrible, our ownership, I don't like him, I'm not a fan. Like, all this stuff is true, but, like, come on. Don't try to kick on the Knicks. Like, when you, like, you're this, like, you're the, you know, the Lakers or the Celtics or, you know, another organization with a lot of wins. Yeah. I mean, the Bulls, yeah, been a while.
Can't really
been a while. Been a while.
Yeah, but we got six. That the math of six stretches out forever.
And you know what you did?
That's like a 100-year. What?
You drafted Michael Jordan. So yeah. Like, you didn't mess that up. Yeah, you picked him, but others didn't.
All right. Oh, well, boy. I think we agree. It's done.
Yeah.
It's all done, but the kicking and the screaming.
What are we rooting for? Go Thibel. See if he can shoot. That's what we're going to be watching.
Thibel's a beast.
He can play D, baby.
He can. All right. So I think we're in agreement. It's over. I think they shut down Dame after the two more losses. And yeah, we'll play out the string. And I guess I might end up at the combine and in the NBA draft lottery, but pissed because the Cubs are out of town. And yeah, I got nothing else.
Go Knicks.
Gosh. Hey, they did look pretty good. All right. Thanks for listening to the Blazer Focus podcast. Please click that subscribe button and give us a 5-star positive rating, even though we were completely negative for almost 45 minutes. And we'll be back next year talking about the lottery.
Next year, next time.
Sorry. Oh, next week talking about the lottery.